Seated. Find Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Brother Ben's going to try to get that live stream going for us, and maybe it will, maybe it won't. I didn't even mention, we had Brian and Katie Williams, their kids, with us this morning. He was the camp director at Cedar Hills for several years, camp manager, I should say. And they're in between churches and in between ministries right now, so pray for them as they seek the Lord's will for their lives. He was the pastor at Hinton Missionary Baptist Church. Some of you know Hinton Missionary Baptist Church because Brother Eddie Reichert, Sister Jeannie, they were the ones who helped establish that church several years ago. And so pray for that church. They look for a pastor. Pray for Brian and Katie as they are in between. Open your Bibles to Romans chapter 8. We're going to go ahead and begin back at verse 9 and try to cover the rest of these verses. You guys just sat down. I'm sorry. Stand up with me one more time. Sit up, stand down. I feel like you're in a Catholic church. I know. I hope you don't get that. You didn't get it? Yeah. Mike's visited one before, right? A lot of standing up, sitting down. Mm-hmm. All right. Romans 8, verse 9. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with them, that we may be also glorified together. Amen. Please be seated. Thank you. That's good. This morning we spent a lot of time in verses 9 through 11. We must live in the Spirit. And I tried to communicate that we have to be saved. We live by faith, so we have eternal life. And then I probably didn't make this as clear as I hoped to this morning, but we not only are saved by living in the Spirit, but we are sanctified by living in the Spirit. We spent a lot of time in Galatians 5 walking through those things that have to do with the flesh, the results of the flesh. And so we understand that God wants us to bear fruit. So it's not just our salvation. By faith we live in the Spirit. We live. But we're sanctified in the Spirit as we go through this life. And you'll notice here in our text that we are glorified in the Spirit. He says that verse 10, if Christ is in you, the body, the flesh, this outward body is dead because of sin. And we know that. Job said that his days were numbered. He said that God had numbered his days and that one day he knew he would die. The psalmist said, teach me to number my days. We understand that it is appointed unto man once to die. And so this flesh is going to be dead, and that's because of our sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. And if you are in Christ, the Spirit is in you, then the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the grave on the third day is the same Spirit that's going to bring you to life again in the resurrection. He will quicken your mortal body. And so you will die one day. Your body will be buried, or perhaps you'll be cremated, or whatever is done to dispose of your fleshly body. One day, by the Spirit of God, you'll be raised again. And God has saved us, not just spiritually, not just our consciousness to go on into the ethereal, or the idea of some idea that your consciousness continues on, but God is going to bring your spirit is alive forever, and he's going to bring your body to life again in the resurrection. So it's this living in the Spirit is to be alive through salvation. It's living in the Spirit is being sanctified as you put off the old man, you put off the works of the flesh, you mortify the deeds of the body, and you live and walk in the Spirit of God, and you will be glorified. Living in the Spirit brings the glorification at the resurrection. And if you don't have the Spirit, you're not Christ. But if Christ is in you, the Spirit gives life because of the righteousness of God that's been put in you through salvation. And if God's Spirit lives in you, then God who raised Christ from the dead will make you alive by his Spirit at the resurrection. Now, verse 12 through 17 is the opposite, and we really spent a lot of time talking about this morning. But just hear this, we must not live according to the flesh. You can't have life in your flesh. By the deeds of the law is no man justified. But after you have salvation, you can't not continue to live in the flesh because he has given you righteousness through his Spirit. So we can't live according to the flesh. We have to live according to his Spirit. Verse 12 says, we are debtors. We owe it to God not to live according to the flesh. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. So if I'm not a debtor to the flesh to live after the flesh, what am I a debtor to? Well, I'm a debtor to God. I'm a debtor to God to live after the Spirit. So we owe it to God to live in the Spirit. We owe it to God to live as though we've been born again. He's placed his Spirit in you, and so it's on me. I have this in me that I owe it to God. I'm a debtor to God to live according to the gospel that he's placed in me, to live by the Spirit that he's put in me. So if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Verse 13, if you live after the flesh or according to the flesh, ye shall die. What does that mean? It means that if you are trying to get life through the deeds of your body, you're going to die. If you're trying to live and gain God's approval by the way you live day by day, you're going to perish. If you're trying to justify yourself by your works, you will be separated from God forever. So if you live after the flesh, according to the flesh, you'll die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Now, verse 13, at first blush, if you just take that verse by itself and pull it out of its context, if you take that verse by itself and you don't consider all the rest of the things we've studied, it really sounds like your salvation depends on how you live your life. Doesn't it? I mean, doesn't it seem like that when you read it? But friends, you got to understand, he's given us all of these truths so that we know without question, you're not justified by your works. You're not justified by the deeds you do in your flesh. So we know it cannot mean that. So what does it mean? It means that anybody who's trying to live in the flesh to gain righteousness, to gain life, they can't do it. They'll die. Why? Because, verse 14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Somebody mentioned this morning after the service that one of the marks of a believer is this. When you sin, you feel convicted. The Spirit of God lives in you. You feel the guilt and shame of your sin. When you sin, you feel that sting. You know that you've grieved the Spirit of God that's in you. That's a mark of a believer. To know that you feel that shame and that guilt over what you've done to offend the God who loves you and saved you. And so the Spirit's in us and he is calling us to be led by him. He's leading us into paths of righteousness. He's leading us according to his truth. And if we are born again, then he's going to lead us. And if you're led by the Spirit of God, then you are the Son of God. What does that mean? It means that God's going to lead me to do what's right, not what's wrong. It means that when there's temptation, he makes a way to escape that we may be able to bear it. It means that God's guiding our steps. If we'll just acknowledge him in all of our ways, he will guide us. He will direct our paths. And so people who don't have the Spirit of God are not led by the Spirit. They don't have that guidance. They don't have that conviction in their heart. And I don't know about you, sometimes I don't appreciate God's conviction. Sometimes I don't enjoy God's conviction. But I thank God for his conviction to help me stay on the right path. Verse 15, you've received the Spirit of adoption. You've received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And he sets this against the spirit of bondage and fear. The writer of Hebrews talks about those through all their life were in bondage to fear because of death. When you don't have Christ in your life, when you've never been born again, you ought to be terrified of death. Death could snatch you at any time. And if you don't have Christ, you don't have God in your life, you don't have hope in this world, and the terror of eternal separation from God is all that awaits you if you don't have Christ. And you had that fear of death, and you were in bondage to that fear of death, but God has not given us that spirit of bondage again to fear. I'm not bound by sin. I'm not bound by death. I'm not bound by fear anymore. God set me free, and in that, in its place, by giving me his Holy Spirit, now I have the spirit of adoption. Now I belong to him. Now God has freely brought me into his family. Listen, we were like orphans. We were those without any hope, without any help, and God has brought us into his family through Jesus Christ, and now we cry, Abba, Father. Abba is the Aramaic term, and I know you've heard about it before, but that's the little child crawling up on daddy's lap and saying, Dada. Or Papa. It's a term of nearness. It's a term of affection. It's a term of very close love. And there is a special love between a father and a child, isn't there? And your small child crawls up in your lap and wants to be near you. That's the kind of affection that is in that word by itself. We cry, Abba, Father. We have a closeness to God. We have a intimacy with God because he has adopted us as his sons and daughters. Can you just let that sink in for a second, guys? We're talking about the creator of everything. We're talking about the thrice holy God. We're talking about the infinite being who made all things. We're talking about the all-powerful, all-present, all-knowing God has brought us into his own, made us one of his children. And he allows us to crawl up into his lap, as it were, to look up into his loving eyes and say, Abba. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Son of man that thou visitest him? The God who knows our every thought still allows us to be called his children. What a Savior. So he's adopted us. He's brought us in. And in verse 16, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I find myself conflicted every time I read this verse because I know that salvation isn't about a feeling. We talk a lot about the experience of salvation, and I was talking to some people at Impact about that and how when you're born again, they were saying how somebody said it just felt like this great weight was lifted off of them. And how many times have you heard that testimony? How many times have you felt that? I mean, the burden and weight of your sin, that guilt and condemnation that was on you, when you trusted Christ, it was taken away. You feel this lightness. You feel this burden has been taken away. We have a feeling, because the Spirit lives in us, of assurance. There's something inside me. I remember the night I was saved. I can't tell you how. I just knew inside of me that when I died, I was going to be with God in heaven. I just knew it. And it's hard for me to put into words. But God's word says his spirit bears witness with our spirit. His spirit is inside of us, testifying to us. His spirit is testifying, you are my child. You're mine. You're adopted. You're mine. We're his children. And if we're children, then we're heirs. If you're a child of God, then you have the inheritance of God. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Heirs, friends, children, heirs, and heirs indeed of God. Joint heirs, fellow heirs with Christ. We have an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away. It's reserved in heaven for all of you who have been born again, who have been begotten again by faith in Jesus Christ. So we're his. But look at the end of verse 17. If we're children, then we're heirs. We're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Listen to this. if so, or if indeed, or provided we suffer with Christ, that or in order that we may be also glorified together. Now, Paul's writing to saints in Rome towards the end. What would be the end of his ministry in a few years? The end of his race. He's writing at a time when Christians are being persecuted, not only by the Jews who rejected Jesus as their Messiah, but by the Romans who didn't like any kind of uprising, any kind of something spreading. And so it was political persecution, it was religious persecution. And here's what Paul's saying, suffering for Jesus is worth it because of who he is and because of what he's done and because of what he's yet to do. We look at the sufferings of this life, they're but a little while. They're but a little while, but God has greater things in store for us who have faith in him. We can look to the glorification that he has. Now, I told you this morning I wanted to give you a little more practicality. I just want you to think about this a little bit as we consider not walking in the flesh, not living by the flesh. Because living in the flesh brings what? Death. So I don't want to do that. I want to live in the Spirit. I want to walk in the Spirit. I want to put on the fruits of the Spirit. So I want to take you back to Galatians chapter 5 and move on a little bit from the negativity we had to cover this morning to the good stuff that comes after it. Galatians chapter 5. We covered all of those negative things, right? We covered the things that are of the flesh. The works of the flesh, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, we walked through all that. But look at verse 22, Galatians 5, 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And I submit to you this afternoon that if you will put off the works of the flesh, then the works of the Spirit will be manifest in your life. Don't walk in the way of flesh, because why? If you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. They're not going to be evident in your life. We're going to gain the evidence of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and all of the things like that in our lives when we walk in the Spirit. So how do I do that? How do I live my life walking in the Spirit? Well, you might remember we talked about this before, but there has to be, we call it sometimes the law of replacement. When you have a lustful thing in your life, when you have a fleshly thing in your life, when you have something that is against the way of God and you put that out of your life, you mortify that, you kill that thing in your life, you're going to have to fill that place in your life with something better. You have to. Okay? I was asked the other day, I guess it was at camp, the weeks are running together. I think one of the kids in our cabin maybe was talking about struggling with listening to music that wasn't honoring to Christ. Like, I'm having a hard time giving up this music that's not good. So we talked about that. Talked about the fact that you have time in your life when you're devoted to listening to this music. Well, if you're going to get rid of that bad music that doesn't honor Christ, you need to replace it with good music. That's an easy example, isn't it? But there are so many things in our lives that we have that are not good. They're not Christ-honoring. They are fulfilling the lust of the flesh. And when you put that off, you have to put on the new. Put off the old man, put on the new man. So the law of replacement. Do away with those things. When God convicts you, as you hear the word of God and you hear these sins that so many of us are prone to, that sins that easily beset us, then what we have to do is make sure we replace it with something good. If you're watching something that dishonors Christ, then find something that does honor Christ to watch. If you're listening to something that dishonors Christ, listen to something that does honor Christ. Give him the example. How many of you guys remember what CDs are? Compact discs. Anybody remember those? These cool little discs. When Melissa's brother was little, he was digging around somewhere in the house, and he found something. He ran into the living room to show his mom. He's like, "Mom, look at this giant CD I found." It was black and made of vinyl. You guys know about those? Well, in those days, when I was younger, I was listening to some music that wasn't Christ-honoring. I got convicted about that. I know I told you before, but I remember thinking, I can't have this music in my life anymore. So my first thought was, I wonder how I can sell it to somebody else. Because, man, those CDs were expensive. Spent a lot of money on those. And I thought, man, I can't sell those. That would be wrong. So I thought, who can I give them to? And then I got convicted. I'm like, how stupid is that? If it's not good for me to listen to, it's not good for anybody else to listen to, right? So I remember taking them and breaking them and throwing them in the trash. But too many times people take those things like that and they don't throw them in the trash. They don't burn them. They don't get rid of them. They stick them on a shelf in the closet somewhere. Stick them up in a cabinet in the kitchen somewhere. Whatever it might be. Friend, listen, you got to get rid of it. You can't put it somewhere on a shelf so you can go back to it. And that's really getting hard today. And I think the devil's pretty clever, don't you? You know where most of that type of stuff is found in people's lives today? Where do you get your music? Where do you get your videos? Where do you get so much of the stuff in your life? Is it not right here? It's hard for me to imagine a teenager taking their phone and breaking it in half, throwing it in the trash. So that temptation is literally going to be with them all the time. But Jesus said we ought to be willing to pluck our eye out or cut our hand off. Or maybe we need to be like Caleb in the movie and take a hammer to the computer. Like three of you got that reference. It's good. We got to put it off and put on the new. And there has to be a renewal. There has to be a renewal. Colossians 3, verses 9 and 10 says, "Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him." There's a renewal that has to take place day by day if we're going to walk and live in the spirit and not in the flesh. The outward man perishes, but the inner man is renewed day by day. And that renewal happens through prayer. It happens through time in the Word of God. That renewal happens in times of worship with Christ. We must not live according to the flesh. Why? Back in our text in Romans 8, he said we can't do that because of our debt. We're not debtors to the flesh. We're debtors to God. We must not live according to the flesh because of debt, because of life, because we have life in the Spirit. We must not live according to the flesh because of our debt, because of our life, because he is our Father, because we're heirs, and because of the future glory he has in store for those who've trusted in him. I'm going to ask you guys to pray with me, and then we're going to have a little time of discussion. Father in heaven, I thank you for the time together this morning and fellowship able to have with some of the brothers and sisters this afternoon, and thank you for the time together to worship you this afternoon. And Father, I pray that you would convict our hearts. Lord, our flesh is so distracting, so debilitating sometimes. And I pray you'd help us to lay aside the weight and the sin easily besets us. Help us to fix our eyes on Jesus and run with patience the race that you've set before us. That we would always look to Jesus, considering him. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to walk in the Spirit day by day. Give us grace and strength because we are so weak. Please help us to learn more and grow closer through the rest of this day. I pray that we can worship you today with hearts of gratitude for who you are and what you've done for us. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.